And a good Monday, everybody. Welcome into Chase and Big Joe here on this Reaction Monday, 102.5 The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. We are live at Greystone Golf Club out in Dixon, Tennessee. The Brent Peterson Classic for the Predators Foundation and Peterson for Parkinson's Foundation. A great event every year. I call it the kind of back-to-school unofficial kickoff to the Predators season. But we're excited to be out here today. It's a beautiful day for golf as the first group starting to come in, the second group getting ready to go out. And they are all asking us the same question, JoJo. Well, what about the Titans yesterday?
What about the – how about them Titans?
Look, man.
No, they're not.
There's probably 78 topics today we could discuss about the Titans. Fact is, they lost the game when Denver tried to hand them – the game, and that's going to be a discussion. 12:30, Brian Callahan, press conference live right here on 102.5 The Game. I am anxiously looking forward to this press conference today.
Oh, it's probably going to be something, if it's anything like his post-game press conference, which got a little spicy.
Yeah.
But I want to start with this. I think it is important when someone is correct that you give them, as the kids say, their flowers. I like to say victory lap. And Joe Dubin, you deserve a victory lap.
Oh, my gosh.
You were right, and you have been right really for a while, because you were one of the first people in Nashville media to question if Brian Callahan was, in fact, the head coach of the National Football League. After that, whatever that was yesterday,
yeah,
131 yards in penalties, terrible play calling, not knowing a rule as the head coach that you should probably know about what a catch is. I know what a catch is. You know what a catch is.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Henry's granddaughter knows what a catch is. Like, I mean, and he didn't.
He did. I had no clue. So when I first looked at Callahan.
So you were right. He's not a head coach.
Yeah, he's never coordinated. He's never called plays, yet they gave him the keys to the franchise. Right there, it's just like, what? And that's going back to January of 2024. And it's all evident. 3-14 last year, 0-1 now. Play calling, he's overwhelmed still. He's still overwhelmed with what's going on. He's got to give something up. Give the play calling up, become the head coach. Call plays, have somebody else be the head coach. It's not working. It was a bad performance yesterday. He lost in the game. He lost in the game. And I want to hear what he has to say at 12:30, but in fact, he's shown me nothing in these 18 games that says he is an NFL head coach. And Titans fans, I'm sorry, but I don't think it gets any better.
I mean, right now, I don't think it gets any better. Not this year by any means. So it's very simple. Our question of the day is, which is brought to you by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. Is, do you think he lasts the season? Do you think Brian Callahan, after one day, after yesterday's game, while we're all in overreaction mode and all those things, do you think he lasts the season? Because my answer is no.
No, I don't. After what I saw yesterday, not like you just talked about, not knowing what a catch is, the play calling atrocious. And we'll get into it later on, but I got to get off my chest now. The fact you go aggressive under the 2 minutes in the first half, I mean, your own 5-yard line, you went aggressive then? You went aggressive then, and you go, what was it, 28 seconds off the clock? It only took off. Denver was able to go down and score a touchdown. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Terrible judgment, terrible play calling. Just knee it and go to halftime with the lead. You're leading at halftime.
Yep.
You're leading at halftime on the road, and Denver's like, what in the world's going on here? And the fact that you go aggressive, it costs you, they go down and score, and everything else. I thought it was Cam Ward's like, hey, how was today? He's like, we didn't get in the end zone.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
They were in the low red zone and couldn't get in the end zone.
He gets it. I thought Cam Ward was okay. Despite the fact that they threw stuff at him, I thought he was fine.
I thought he was decent. Look, those last two sacks were 100% on him. You've got to get rid of the ball. I think he got a little gun shy because his best receiver couldn't catch a cold yesterday when the ball hit him right in the hands. I mean, it looked like me trying to catch it.
We'll get into that too, because goodness.
I mean, we're just kind of doing some quick hit stuff right now. We'll get into everything in more detail, but that, I mean, you cannot, like, if it's not there, it's not there.
Nope.
And that's what a young quarterback has to learn. Like, I mean, sometimes it's just not there. And if it's not there, you get out of the pocket and throw it away.
I love the fact that one play Ward jumped all over. Was it Aya Manor who was supposed to cut his route in probably 2 yards? And he's like yelling at him. I'm like, I love this. Hold him accountable. Don't do the old pat on the head. I'll get you next time. No, man.
No.
Run the right route. And he's open. He's open if he runs the right route. So I don't blame Cam Ward for that. And I don't. Some of the pressures that they got in there was Cam holding the ball too long. It happens. But, I mean, J.C. Latham, he looked like Andre Dillard 2.0 for a little bit yesterday. I mean, it was.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he was out with a hip.
Hip injury,
is what,
yeah.
What they said. And
so hopefully he's okay. But, my Lord, some of that stuff, the breakdowns. That's why you play preseason games. I will die on that hill. I'll die on hole number 4 over here at Greystone. You got to play preseason games. You got to. Around the NFL yesterday, the play was awful.
It's terrible.
Awful, awful, awful. Titans were no exception. Broncos were no exception.
But you see it. I mean, you see it.
Play.
You see it in college. You see it in the pros now, because all these coaches are paranoid that somebody's going to blow a knee out in a preseason scrimmage or a preseason game, and so they just and they hold guys out. I mean, even some of these joint practices, like they were being careful with guys and hold them out because they didn't want them to get hurt.
Chargers lost their left tackle.
Right.
Their all-pro left tackle.
I get it.
And Harbaugh, they said, what do you think about that? He's like, it's football.
Yeah.
We will forge on and we'll play in his honor and we'll go out. I was like, that's a great answer.
Yep.
It's football. Things happen. And yesterday the Titans should have come back. I'm not saying they should have won the game, but I'm telling you, they probably should have won the game.
So here's how today is going to work. We want to hear from you. This is your day to vent with us, because we're going to do a lot of that as well. You can call, you can text 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can tweet at us at 1025 The Game. He's at Big Joe on the go. I'm at Chase on Game. We got the YouTube chat going as well, so there are tons of ways to get a hold of us. We will try to get to everyone, but I can already look at the text line and tell you that everybody has stuff that they want to get off their chest when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. I'm not the kind of radio host that is always like, after one bad game, well, fire him. He needs to be fired. I mean, it takes me a while to get to that point. I walked away from yesterday going, okay, I can't even say he's a good play caller.
Right.
Like, because he called a terrible game. In fact, here was an exchange he had with Paul Kuharsky of PaulKuharsky.com after the game yesterday when asked about play calling. All right, well, that wasn't the one I thought it was. So that's my bad. I set that up wrong. That was TD. There's another one. It may have been the very next question.
Okay.
But Paul kind of asked him, and then he gets snippy with Paul saying, well, did you see the plays? Did you know the plays we were calling and stuff? When you get snippy like that, that basically is you admitting, you're right.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to actually say you're right.
We've seen it so many coaches, pro and college. You know, remember when Butch Jones went off on the media up in Knoxville about spreading rumors, things that are going on? You're like, oh, yeah, the seat is hotter than you want to admit, and it's hotter than you probably realize. And it was bad. The play on the goal line before the half was terrible. The fact they didn't give up a safety is a miracle. But why do you go? I wonder why you go aggressive then, Chase. Why then? Why not on your first and second drive?
This is it.
Uncle passing qualify as aggressive there. What did you see that showed you that throwing the ball sideways was going to get you on?
Did you have the play calls, Paul? Did you see him?
No.
Okay.
What were you expecting out of them?
We had a couple of aggressive play calls down the field, try to work across the field with some of the man coverage they were playing. So we just didn't hold up well enough in protection. They covered it pretty well.
Yeah, dude, go to the locker room with the lead.
Yep.
Like, I'm all about being aggressive, but you're backed up to your own goal line, and you really haven't played all that well to this point. The only reason you're in the game is because they're letting you stay in the game, and I get the instinct to want to exploit that, but you're not there yet where you can execute that. Just go into the locker room with the lead and then try and be aggressive in the second half.
How simple is
that,
right?
You gave them a touchdown.
Pretty simple.
You basically were like, you know what? Here, you guys score.
We're just going to throw the ball down. And the defense had really played well. They were confusing Bo Nix. They were jumping the routes. I thought they were playing well. And Simmons was playing well. We'll get to him later on, too, as well.
for all that. So I thought they were keeping them in the game and keeping it competitive. And the Titans were slowly – what did Al Wilson tell us 2 weeks ago? In Mile High, you want to jump on quick as you can because the longer a team can stick around in that environment, they're on the same level as you are, and you're like, uh-oh. And the Bill Parcells method, keep hanging around. And the Titans were doing that well. And then Callahan put them in bad position, bad play calling that Denver capitalized on, and it's just an utter disaster for Bill Callahan – or for Brian – Bill, too.
Both
for
of them.
Brian Callahan after yesterday's game in Denver. Just not good.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. A lot of you are fired up today. I mean, there are several. I would fire Brian Callahan today. It'd move on. They're not going to do that. I would love to know. Dr. Crane, can your crack research team look up if a coach has ever been fired after week one in the NFL?
We're on it.
I don't think they have, but I would love to know.
I know a hockey coach that was fired after 3 games.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's not out here today.
No. Well, that's how we ended up here.
That's right.
Eventually.
Yeah.
In Peter LaViolette. But anyway, Reaction Monday is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We're going to be reacting all day. You will hear from Brian Callahan at the bottom of the hour when he has his press conference. Also, John McClain will join us at 2 o'clock to give his thoughts on the Titans and the rest of the sloppy, sloppy NFL. But coming up next, I just, every time I think we're taking a step forward with someone, he takes 15-yard step back. And that happened yesterday.
Literally.
We will discuss, that was it. We'll discuss that. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Reaction Monday. The Titans fall yesterday 20-12 to the Denver Broncos in the season opener. And what I think is probably the truth that everybody is feeling today, I think we all kind of knew they were going to lose. We all felt like that was probably it. But you made a comment before we went on the air of, I almost wish they had lost 28-0.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of what a lot of people expected, rather than they were in the entire game because Denver played like crap and wanted to hand it to them.
Yes.
And then they still find a way to lose. So it's like you have that little bit of hope of, they might actually win this game.
Yeah.
And then they don't because of dumb stuff. And we're sitting here once again talking about a season opening loss.
Yeah, a season that's 21, 22, 3, 4, 5 years in a row now,
yep,
that they've lost the opening game. And, yeah, I mean, there was a little positive. The return game, I'm not a big special teams guy. I think, yeah, it could help a team win, but it's not a third of the game, right? It's not because it's only 10, 12 plays at best. But when you got them, take advantage of them. I thought yesterday they were fine with all that. This new kicker, I mean, he was booning. I mean, that really good. So that's great. But you got to score touchdowns. You win games by scoring touchdowns. Now, I will agree that on the first drive, get the points.
Yeah.
Get the field goal, get the points, be confident, be positive about that, and then go from there. I thought that was good. It was a great opening drive. Caught Denver off balance a little bit, which was good. But, again, some of the play calling and just being overwhelmed with the situation in the moment, not good. And I don't think it's going to get any better now. We have 18-game sample size, and it's not good.
615-737-1025. 9013, tell Callahan to use AI. It can't hurt. Didn't we try that with Chad Brinker? Didn't he have some sort of AI model thing that he used? Nevada Josh, I think he lasts as long as Tyson does against Merriweather. Or Mayweather, sorry. Cliff in Nashville, I think that's I think that's the drive where we almost got a safety and was forced to punt. Had to be the worst coaching I've seen from the Titans in a while.
Yep.
To watch the Titans the drive before run the ball at least 10 times and almost get to a touchdown when Tony Pollard fumbled. That was wild to me. Cliff, I think, doing a little voice to text that I had to decipher there.
Also, I've got to give a kudos to my teammate here, Chase McCabe, who had as many catches. Chase had as many catches yesterday as Tyler Lockett and Van Jefferson had.
So yeah.
Well done, Chase.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Pretty
really
good.
Really worked hard for that. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, we're going to bounce all over the place. Calvin Ridley, again, looked like me trying to catch the ball.
Awful.
You know, Iron Manor's a rookie, so okay. Like, first game, whatever. But Lockett dropped one. He was targeted maybe twice.
Once. Yep.
Van Jefferson, no targets, I believe.
I don't know if he even played.
He was there. I saw him on the field. Okay. I think he was doing some special teams. But, you know, Pollard, you can't fumble. I mean, he's usually pretty good about that. I mean, Derrick Henry fumbled last night. The thing is, the defense and special teams, in my mind, deserve to win.
Okay.
They played well. Like, the defense forced three turnovers. Special teams had a turnover. You had a 71-yard kick return that set you up in great field position by Chim Dike. The only problem was the guy that I wanted to praise the entire game, because if he's not on the field, the defense isn't getting the pressure that they were. That's Jeffrey Simmons. And once again, just and look, to his credit, he immediately was like, I was a dumb you know what. I messed up. He owned it.
He knows better.
But how many times do we have to have this conversation? Better. And the other part is, I told you, I've watched that play four times. And you can see Cody Barton, it has momentum. Barton is running through, you know, to Bo Nix. He's got Bo Nix. His momentum's carrying him. They're not calling that. Jeff's coming in to help finish the play, which by instinct is the right thing to do. But once you hear the whistle and once you see that Barton's got it, you got to let up. And you can kind of see him try to let up, but then he doesn't.
Yeah. Then he just sits
and he plows through and pushes him, and they immediately throw the flag. And, you know, on initial review or on the initial play, I texted you. I was like, man, that's a bad call. And then you see it again. I'm like, nope, that's the right call.
Because we talk about it. Barton is the initial. He's the primary. It was done, whistle blown. You come over and you push the other guy another 5 to 7 yards. They're going to call that every single time. With the new rule in football, with new emphasis on that stuff, on the aggression, they're going to call it every time. You can't do that. The play was over with. Then you cost them 15 yards and go down the field. So dumb plays, as our buddy Mike Vrabel would say, don't do blank to hurt the team. And that hurt the team yesterday. And it was just – I mean, he was playing so well up to that moment. He was disrupting things. It was really good,
man. He was – I mean – dare I don't want to say defensive MVP, but he was a very, very important cog in that machine because he was making plays happen. I mean, you know, Tavondre Sweat, I thought, played well. But Simmons was making stuff happen, and then he just had that dumb play. You're off the field. Who knows what happens at that point? You're off the field. I mean, we saw it the other day at MTSU that it was going to be like 3rd and 32 or 4th and 32 or whatever it was, and the same thing kind of happened. And it's just like, you can't do dumb things to hurt the team. And he did, and he knew it. But the problem is now the theme has become when he does it, he admits it and he owns up to it, but it's like it still happens.
Yeah, Barton and Gray, inside backers, had 17 tackles yesterday. Barton with 9, Cedric Gray had 8 tackles, which is great. But if you give me a game ball on defense, I mean, you know, there's a few here and there, I'm giving it to Vondre Sweat. In that moment, when he blew up that fourth down play, in that moment with the game on the line, Broncos get that, game's over. Yeah. You don't have the chance to go down and do that. Tavondre Sweat played football. What does that mean, Joe? He went back to junior high school when it's the low man drill and it's, you know, you do the goal line drill. Tavondre Sweat was fantastic on that play. I mean, it was fantastic what he did. And it gave the Titans a shot to go down and tie the game. And Callahan's play calling and Cam Ward's inefficiency and experience led to that. That's why I wanted to see Cam Ward play into the second half. In situations, you cannot emulate those situations in practice every day. You can't do it. And it's done and it's over with. Now you just got to move on.
3337 says, is it better or worse that our coach lost at the game and not the quarterback? And it sucks for the defense and special teams who played.
Yes.
Ball.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
The head coach cannot be the problem. If the head coach is the problem or a part of the problem, that's a big problem.
It is.
If you can work with a quarterback, you can, you know, try and continue to improve offensive line. You can do that stuff. If the coach is the one causing some of this stuff, that is a major problem.
Yep.
615-737-1025. Let's roll through some calls real quick before we get to Brian Callahan. Doug wants to weigh in on the Titans. Doug, what you got?
Hey, good midday to you fellas. Now, this is what I have. You guys have said that Amy's not going to fire the coach. Okay, I get it. How about we do something else irrational? You move Denard Wilson, the head coach. You move Brian to whatever. And Daddy Callahan, you make him something.
No. Because you're giving up a coordinator. He needs to worry about the defense. He doesn't need to be the head coach. Have a head coach who doesn't have responsibilities calling offensive or defensive plays. Don't do that.
I feel you, but look what she's not going to do. She's not going to fire him.
We know that.
She's not going to fire him. Okay, so
not
again,
yet.
I blame every coach for that series of bad calls where everybody on the field has a job. I get it. But you're telling me no one said, dude, what are you doing? That's junior high coaching malpractice.
Correct.
Week one, talking about coaching calls on week one where you've had all summer to script plays. That's what we're talking about.
You are correct.
My hope was to see the game in its entirety without Fox saying we'll go to a next scheduled game already in progress because it was out of hand. But I got to see a full game. That was my only hope, is to see a full game where they didn't peel off because it was getting boat raced. Instead, I saw coaching malpractice with a 9-year-old saying, they're going to call timeout. I mean, they're going to run the ball, aren't they? I said, yeah.
Yep. Coaching Doug, got to run on that. Yep.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Matt, I got about 30 seconds. What you got?
All right. Big Joe, you kind of stole my thunder here. I'm going to agree. An NFL head coach should not be calling offensive plays in today's environment. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, no, you're right. But don't come at me with Sean Payton and Andy Reid, because they've had experience for many, many, many years, and they were coordinators before. They were coordinators before.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to step away. We'll come back with Brian Callahan's press conference here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Reaction Monday. We're out at Greystone Golf Club for the Brent Peterson Celebrity Golf Tournament, PD for Parkinson's. And Dr. Crane back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, or the Buzz, is always about great service. Some of the Predators players are already here.
Our good friend Todd Rodermill.
Todd Rodermill is here from the Omni.
Yes.
Saw Bob Cole from the Predators. He's here today. Brooks Bratton in the house as well. We're just calling everybody out.
So real quick, over under how long this press conference Brian Callahan lasts?
9.5 minutes.
Oh, I was going to say 9. Ah, dang it. Yeah, all
right. I always do the half.
Okay.
So we're waiting on him to start the press conference. Can I just say this, too? Because we're just in, like, complain about Brian Callahan mode today. Can he ever be on time?
No, probably not.
I mean, like,
he
says, they say 12:30, and, you know, he's not on.
But you're late for a meeting.
Right.
The
quarterback takes an hour and a half sometimes to get up. I don't know.
Sound of silence, though, man.
Yeah. That is your thing. A couple of other texts while we wait. And Dr. Crane, you just let me know when he walks up there. 3-2-5-1, I think Tony Pollard did pretty good yesterday. The fumble we really needed, but for the most part, I think he did okay. But they keep running through the middle like that. He won't last with his size.
Good point. But – he's lasted already with that size, but
yeah,
let him keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, and the offensive line was just not great.
They
were okay, but like pass protect, really, they got tired. And when Latham went out,
why'd they get tired for? I wonder,
because they don't play in the preseason.
Yeah.
Well, the center and the right guard didn't play in the preseason.
Guard was good. By the way, there are line fans out there because the Lions offensive line played so bad yesterday.
Oh yeah,
they're like, trade for Zeitler, bring him back. I mean, there's a lot of them doing that.
1262 says, Bones saved 3 points after long kickoff. Callie went right to the playbook and wanted to run a play. His mindset as was a coordinator at that time and not as the head coach.
He's never been a coordinator.
Yeah.
He's never been a coordinator. Get that through y'all's head. He's never called plays before he got to Nashville. And he ain't Andy Reid. He's not Mike Holmgren. He's not Sean Payton.
He's not Terry Crisp.
I wish he was too. Then they'd probably win a few more games.
Hey, Crispy, if he's so good in the locker room, leave him in the locker room, right?
It's one of the best lines ever. He's a great locker room guy. Well, if so, leave him in the locker room.
Man, that's great.
Again, and look, you all are fired up today, which I like. Here we go. I was waiting for this. I was waiting for the first one, and we got it. Michael and Madison, go get John Gruden. Complete culture changer that this team desperately needs.
I'm 100% behind
that. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 100% behind that. I think he's still a good coach. I think he messed up, and I think he's paid for it. And I think he deserves another chance. There is no chance in hell I mean Adam Strunk will ever do it.
No, and he loves Cam Ward.
Yep.
He loves Cam Ward. And look, the Raiders thing was a disaster. I get that. But now, what you've been out trying to get back in, the gratitude is there. You're grateful for that experience. You're moving into a new stadium. I'd bring Gruden in a heartbeat, 100%.
I love it. Teresa Walker put out there a picture of the podium waiting for Brian Callahan, and we have questions. I bet we get some good questions today.
I'm just sitting there like, all right, I want to react to what he's going to talk about. So he needs to get to the podium and start talking.
He needs to hurry up. Let's see. Wes in Clarksville, they didn't lose that game because of a bad roster. They lost that game because of a bad coach.
Preach it. Preach
Mike
it
in Lebanon wants to know, when does hockey start? Very soon.
Like 3 weeks, right? There's a preseason game?
Yep. Justin and Greenbrier, I would have been much happier in my ignorance to never know that the Titans thought hard about firing Callahan and didn't do it. Now that I know that they were going to, it makes me even more frustrated at the sheer incompetence on and off the field. Way to go, Titans. On another loss.
That's a great text because it truly is incompetence.
Yep.
And now you are 3-15 as a head coach. And he rebuilt some of that roster. Somebody had a great point. Sent me a text last night and said, hey, was it Will Levis or was it Callahan? And I'm like, it's still Will Levis.
I think it's still Will Levis too. But I was thinking about that last night as well of did we maybe put a little too much on him? And now we're seeing – I mean, here's the other thing that I saw yesterday. Did Cam Ward make some rookie mistakes? Of course he did. Held onto the ball a little too long. It's got to slow down for him. All that was very, very true. But I'm like, I mean, you give this guy a competent coordinator and quarterback coach that can develop him.
Yeah.
Like, he might have something.
Again, he's got three different people in his head. A head coach, play caller – the offensive coordinator who does nothing, he does not call a single play. Then you got the quarterback coach who's trying to get all information to Cam because he's there on the field with him. Your head coach, play caller, can't come talk to you because he's the head coach who he's got to pretend like he knows what's going on in defense, which he doesn't. There's just a lot of chaos here. Have a dedicated guy for him that's your play caller / coordinator.
Not
be a lot easier.
9777 goes, whoa, the roster sucks too, but yesterday Brian cost us the game. That's a fair point. The roster's still not quite there. But yesterday was the head coach. Yesterday, like, the defense that we were all worried about, defense played a good game. Defense had them in position to win the game. Special teams, it's amazing what happens when you get a competent special teams coordinator, which, I mean, who deserves credit for that? I don't think Brian Callahan deserves credit for that. I mean, maybe he does. I don't know. But –
it's still a lot left to see. I don't know. I'm not a big special teams guy. You know that. So,
yeah, but it's an important part of the game, Joe.
It is, but don't tell me it's a third of the game because it's not a third of the game.
Well,
it's not a third of the game.
But it's a part of it.
Right. Anything could be better than what we've seen the last couple of years. I would give you that, and that's 100%. It's improved since it was last year. But the fact is you still got a coach, coordinator, doesn't know what he's doing, what he's calling, game awareness situation. It's tough, man. It's not good, and I don't see it getting any better. I really don't.
No, and today, I mean, I think most people don't see it getting better. Corey says Cam's got guys. Yes, there are some, and if I had to guess, Calvin Ridley is going to turn things around and catch the ball. But
can I give you a quick hot take?
Yes.
Call up Restrepo.
Yeah.
Call him up. Fans would go crazy Sunday. He knows Cam's good and bad.
Yep.
Call him up.
Yep.
Could it be any worse than what you saw yesterday?
No.
He's dying to prove he deserves to be in the National Football League. Call him up.
Yep.
What have you got to lose? Nothing.
That is
Call him up.
That is a nuclear hot take.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Fingers on the button, Chase.
Yep, that's good.
Call him up!
Dustin in Hopkinsville says, this guy obviously called no plays in Cincy. We knew that. Maybe he brought Burrow his jockstrap, but that's it. I honestly think Burrow is that good. He's elevated bad coaching. I do think Taylor is decent, but Cali cheeks.
Yeah.
I think Zach Taylor gets elevated by Joe Burrow, too.
I don't think
Zach Taylor's a great head coach.
Sure he does. Hey, Dr. Crane, could you send me our interview with Nick Holtz last year at camp when he said his job was to make suggestions? We're not going to play it on the air, but I just like to laugh when we had him on last year. I said, what exactly do you do? Well, I make suggestions.
Sure, I can send it to you.
Yeah, I make suggestions. I got a few suggestions for you, Callahan.
Or you can go to thegamenashville.com. You can subscribe to the Chase and Big Joe podcast, and you can get it yourself.
There you go. Even
it's
better.
Right there.
Dropped right in your inbox.
All right. Well, Brian Callahan's 11 minutes late. He's supposed to be speaking, so.
He'll come out and blame us.
Probably. Or Paul or somebody.
That's what y'all get for being here on time.
Because I guarantee you, if I go to break right now, he's going to walk up.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
Just not going to do that, and that's fine.
So we got a couple hot takes.
2765 says, are y'all going to have the press conference live? Yes, we're waiting on him. He's late.
Yeah, he's late. We're going to find him. But, no, all right, so I like the Gruden thing. Yeah, why not, right? Bring something in here, some excitement, some energy. Players would love that. And then call up Restrepo. Oh, man, he can't. Call him up. What do you got to lose? You lost the game on Sunday. Receivers can't catch. Ridley sure as hell can't catch.
Awful. That was bad. I was trying to find it. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. 0365, did Burks get cut? Yes. He's on IR. But
and
yes.
We'll say it again. If the ball hits your hands – you catch it. I don't care if it's your shoelaces. I don't care if it's right in the middle of your face. You catch the ball that hit your hands.
0388, we were talking about, you know, I don't think she fires him after one game. He shouldn't last through the press conference. He should get fired during it. It's 18 games, though, not just yesterday's game. And that is true.
Yeah, we said he's 3-15. That's a 20% winning percentage.
Now somebody's saying, has he been fired? Is that why he's not at the press conference?
Could you
if Amy
imagine?
Walked out right now?
Could you?
Okay, here we go. Let's go to Brian Callahan.
Chance to review and talk through it with the staff. There was some positives that I'd like to point out to start here. One of them would be, you know, we had four rookie starters in that game, which was good. Those guys did a good job. I was excited to see them perform and it not be too big for them. I was really pleased with a lot of the things that Cam did in the game, which is really important. He operated well. He managed the game. There's definitely some things he's going to learn from that I think are going to be really critical for his jump from week one to week two. But the operation and handling the environment and his poise was really impressive. So that part was encouraging. I'm excited about that. Had a couple offensive miscues that I think could have resulted in some potential big plays for us that we didn't connect on. We got to clean those things up. You know, I think we had some opportunities to be smarter with the ball when it came to the sacks and things of that nature in the fringe areas. Got to do a better job there. We'll get that fixed. I had four takeaways on defense, three on defense and one on special teams, which led the NFL this week. So that emphasis was good to see to come out of that with some production on the ball, which was great. Got to do a better job complementing those things offensively and finding ways to get 7 points out of those instead of three. And then one of them we didn't get any out of. So we got to find a better rhythm offensively to complement those particular ones. Situationally, we have to be better. I have to be better. There was definitely things that we got to improve on there. Some of the third downs, we spent most of the day in third and 7+, third and 10+. Against that defense, and that was one of the key parts to our ability to win was to stay on track in those moments, and we didn't do a good enough job of that offensively overall. Tough environment on the road against a good football team. I thought our guys battled. I think we played with great effort, but you win by doing the small things, and I think ultimately we didn't do enough of those things over the course of the game, particularly when it came to the penalties. Those were a couple of them inexcusable. We can't have them if we want to win football games in this league. And it wasn't that part. We got to get cleaned up for sure, and we'll be better there. And again, I know you guys are all here for the conversation about the play with Ellick and challenging the play and what I said after the game. And look, ultimately, my interpretation of the rule was wrong. Uh, I'll own it. We should have challenged the play, and that's pretty much all I can say about it is I'll own the mistake, should have challenged it, and that's where it stands. So other than that, you guys can go ahead.
With that being said, obviously there are other people who may have been able to tell you, hey, go ahead and challenge that. What happened there?
That process and how those things get relayed, you know, I'll keep those in-house. But, you know, I'm the head coach of the football team, and my job is to make those decisions. And I didn't do a good enough job in that moment, and I should have challenged it. And it probably would have resulted in a potential explosive play. So should have challenged the play.
But your interpretation of it being incorrect, the interpretation of Rob in your ear is also incorrect. He's there to correct you or counsel you, and he's also – not getting it right in the moment, correct?
Again, I should have challenged play, and the communication and how those things happened are all part of the process that we got to do a better job of overall. But I'm in charge of that, and I didn't do a good enough job there. So, again, I should have challenged the play.
Do you talk to players about that, and what do you want them to take from that?
Yeah, I think what they should take from the same thing I asked from them too is to take accountability for a mistake or for a play that they didn't make or needed to make or didn't do right, and make it right, you know. And I think that's my job as a head coach, and I'll make it right.
You touched on Cam. What were some of the things that you liked about him most, and some of the things he's got to do better at moving forward?
Yeah, the things that I liked about him most was just the poise in the environment. As a rookie in his first start against that defense, and he was under some duress, and I thought he did a good job protecting the football. He managed the protections. He managed the some difficult third downs. Would have liked to see us help him a little more around him. You know, we dropped, I think, four or five passes that would have helped us a lot. Would have made the day feel a little bit different, I think, had we connected on a few of those. His ability to manage the protection game was really impressive for a young player. I thought that was really encouraging. And then he never got rattled at any point, even though it wasn't certainly our best performance offensively. His ability to continue to battle and stand in there was impressive. And I think we're going to be a lot better for it. There's a lot of things situationally for him, you know, those fringe areas. Him and I, both from a play caller and a quarterback, got to do a better job of making sure we put ourselves in a better position and not get knocked out of those. We did only, twice, I think, get knocked out of some range there that we got to do a better job. So it was a good learning experience for me with Cam and a real thing, you know, calm plays for him in a live environment. But all the things that came out of it, I'm really encouraged by and excited about. Hold on. Go ahead, John. Start over.
Yeah, on the Iron Man play, I mean, that rule has been in effect for a long time. I guess, mm-hmm. In retrospect, are you surprised yourself that you didn't know the correct interpretation of that rule?
Yeah, I think I got a little more clarity on it now at this point. At the end of the day, those things happen really fast, and you're starting to get ready for the next play call, and you're waiting on information from what the look looks like. And look, I misspoke on it after the game, and I'll own that. I'm aware of the rules. I understand the rules. You know, again, a mistake that I made that I got to correct, just like I'd ask our players to.
So you say that you misspoke yesterday, but at that time you knew that one elbow equaled 2 feet.
Say that one more time.
So yesterday when you misspoke on the rule, you did know at that point that one elbow equals 2 feet.
At that moment?
Yes.
Yeah, I think at the end of the game I was worried about a lot of the things that went wrong in the game and the heat of the moment, the frustration of it after the game in the press conference, I think is – you know, again, I misspoke. I'm well aware of the rule. I understand how it works. And the way that I articulated afterwards was incorrect. And, you know, I understand the rules of this game pretty well.
Brian, the sequence right before half, you've got a rookie quarterback on the road in the opener. Hindsight, maybe smarter to just take and try and get out of there and take that lead into the halftime and not let the Denver have a chance at the ball again?
Sure. There's every game has plays as a play caller that you want back. There's always situations that you think about, you could have called this instead of this or that play instead of the other one, and those things happen often. That's every play caller, I think, around the league. And I'm no different. And so there was a moment there that on first and 10, took an aggressive throw, tried to get one down the field to Alec running across the field. We gave up a pressure. And then I tried to throw essentially a screen that would keep the clock running and have the ball in bounds. And we didn't execute that very well. And then the third down certainly could have run the ball on the third down there. Was hoping to keep the clock running on that second down play. And then again, on the third down play, could have had a better selection. Certainly.
Kind of
on that
screen, it kind of looked like three guys weren't. Like they thought they were blocking, or what were those guys doing over there? Who was supposed to be facing the quarterback?
One of them was supposed to be facing the quarterback, and two were supposed to be blocking.
Was there a confusion there on knowing who
there
was
doing
what?
Yeah.
Brian, you said yesterday that part of that sequence was you wanted to be aggressive.
Yep.
And that moment, was the aggression because you thought you could score from the 7-yard line in a minute, or was it because you thought you really needed to get a first down with one play, otherwise they'd get the ball?
That was the intent, was that I knew they were going to be in man coverage. We called a play that was designed to go be man coverage. We had Alec across the field, and I was trying to see if I could get one, took one shot at a place that I knew I felt pretty good about what we were going to get, and I liked the play call in the moment. And we had a shot to hit it, and it would have been a pretty good explosive gain that maybe would have gave us one more chance to see if we could get into field goal range, you know, with one or two more plays and with timeouts in our pocket as well. So, yeah, I mean, you can. It didn't work. So yeah, certainly in hindsight, you get criticized for it, and that's fair. So, yeah, that's all I can really add to that.
I think about the two sacks after the muffed punt yesterday. You said you needed to see him.
Yeah.
Did Cam have places to go that were safe on those two plays?
Yeah, there was. You know, it's. We got beat pretty quick. You know, it's also. I'm not going to put that all on Cam. You know, I think the pressure was. Happening fast, and the ball on both those plays could have definitely had quicker answers, certainly. The first one would have been tough. The outlet there in that particular throw would have been to Tony, and Tony got stuck trying to get out. That ball's got to go to the back. And then the third down play, hard to say that that's on Cam. That pressure came pretty quickly. We were in a spot where, generally speaking, was expecting some potential heavy pressure on that fringe area. To see if they could try to knock us out and or get have us force the ball out quick. So we called the max protection. They didn't bring the pressure, and we didn't get the execution of the protection, you know, in that moment as good as we would have liked. So those things, again, you know, when they don't work and those things happen, it's the criticisms are all fair, and ultimately I got to do a better job at helping put Cam in a better spot.
Two things you guys worked on last year that – or I guess you worked on this season to improve from last year were the penalties and then getting the play calls in quickly. When you struggle with both of those in the first week after spending all offseason focused on them, do you change anything about your approach to trying to make them better next week?
I think the penalty part, you know, that part was frustrating, certainly, to have that amount and some of the types of penalties. Those are things that I was hopeful that we had grown past and that the emphasis on it would show up for us. There was no indication that obviously that would happen the way it did, but they were big. They were critical penalties. I mean, there was some major third down penalties. You know, the holdings are subjective. They get called every game. You know, you're gonna have some here and there. Some crews call more than others. But yeah, I was disappointed by that, and the amount of work that we put into it to have that show up in that opening game was definitely disappointing. And we just got to keep. Going through the process. I mean, there's no shortcut to eliminating those things. You show them, you're accountable to them, and you make your coaching points and you keep moving. It's just like any play, any technique, anything that you're trying to emphasize, you keep at it. As far as what was the second part again? The play calls in, you know, again, I think our biggest issue in the play calls was the tempo back into the huddle. You know, I think we were getting back a little bit later. We weren't good enough tempo-wise in that regard. We'll emphasize that. That'll be better. Loud, trying to get in and out of the huddle. Didn't give Cam enough time a few times to operate. And I think that's me as a play caller, and that's our tempo in the huddle, into the huddle and out of it as well. So definitely something we got to get fixed for the next road game.
Can you explain the necessity of the pitch count with Legarius? And yeah. What exactly is the benefit of saving him at this point here when the game's counting out?
It's not really about saving him per se. It's about the loading coming off an injury and very limited practice time. And when you've practiced for a really short amount of time, you know, we track all the GPS volumes and all the work that he's gotten in. And, you know, he had worked up to a particular volume that we felt comfortable where you're not pushing past that strain. And there was a cap put on that. And look, it's frustrating. It's a frustrating thing for guys when they get ready to go play in a game. That's not easy for them to do. That's not something that is usually very smooth at the end of the day. Because once they get in that mode to go play, they want to play. But organizationally, from a health standpoint, over the course of time, over the course of 17 games, you put yourself at risk when you just go in there to a game and you play 65 plays. The risk of injury, especially soft tissue, goes way up. And that was part of the thought process in that was that, you know, we're going to build the load back up because he hadn't had a lot of practice time in between. So would have loved to see him play more, certainly. And I think he's going to keep building into that ability to play for an entire game with the limited work he's had up until this point.
Will he be able to do that as early as next week, do you think, or will it take maybe another week?
We're going to see. We're going to see how practice goes. We'll increase his load in practice again this week. He'll go more. He'll practice with more reps and more volume, and we'll see what that looks like by the end of the week, and we'll make a determination for the game. And that's a collective determination is made between all of us, training room, Mike, myself, and we try to do what's best for the player for the long term at the end of the day.
Times that guys early, at least, didn't seem to know where they needed to be alignment wise. Cam was looking behind him, pointing guys around. Am I mistaken on that? And what's that assignment?
We might have had one or two, but I think if you're talking about like moving the running backs and stuff, we move our backs for protection purposes quite a bit, especially when they get into some of those six-man fronts where they got two backers mugged in there. Like, we'll move the backs around and we'll check protections and things like that. So a lot of that was probably that.
These were some receivers, I felt like, no?
Some of it was it different than motion? There wasn't really a lot of those, from my point of view. Frankly, I mean, maybe like I said, one or two. If you point them out to me, I can tell you if they're accurate or not.
Given Joey's day yesterday as Big Leg, he banged one through easily from 68 in pregame. Those two drives in the fourth quarter, how much thought did you put into sending him out there on one or both of those, considering one would have given you the lead and the other one would have made it a 5-point game, which also would have been helpful?
Yeah, those were conversations. I think the biggest issue was the when we got knocked way back. I think that last one would have been pretty significant. Those are conversations we have. We felt a little bit better about the going the other direction as far as the pure distance. And then again, we were a little bit concerned too if that does end up short. You know, they got one of the best returners in football out there that they're going to put back underneath the goalposts. And if you are short, those are just the risk reward you weigh when you take those deep shots. But certainly it was part of the conversation.
Guys, coming out of the game that you'll have to monitor this week?
We'll have a few that we got to get through today and tomorrow. And I'll give an update Wednesday. The only one that right now we're going to probably really monitor is just to see where JC's at by Wednesday, and see how that he's kind of been battling the same thing for a little bit now. So that one's probably the biggest one at the moment, but I have no further clarity on it.
With Cam and the ability to check in and out of plays, you know, he said that he has that freedom. He didn't have to because for the most part, you guys had him in the right situations. Where is he as far as that freedom? Like, is that something that you're going to continue to ramp up, or is he kind of where he is?
Yeah, no, he's got freedom. He checked one or two things yesterday. When you give the quarterback that freedom, there's an understanding too that when you check plays at quarterback, it's not necessarily always trying to check for the big one. You know, the check is generally to try to keep you out of bad plays. And that's something that he's learning. He's got a mentality of like, I want to go try to score. And so we're just – that's a work in progress as far as when and where and what to check and why. But we're building that. And I think that's one of Cam's superpowers. That's one of the weapons that's going to make him a really good player in this league is his ability to operate at the line of scrimmage and manipulate the offense the way he sees fit. And those are things that we're just kind of continually working on. And he's got the freedom to do it, though. And he did it a couple of times yesterday. And the most impressive one was really the end of the last play of the game. Not a significant play in the grand scheme of things, but significant in what you want to see from the quarterback is he recognized a max pressure blitz that, you know, again, fourth down and last play of the game and checked to a max protection. It's wired up. We didn't get we didn't have the protection executed right way, but he got everything set, checked it without having to have anything in his back pocket. It was a pure protection check on his own, and that was just really, really encouraging to see, even though it was the last snap of the game that was ultimately meaningless. But from that operation perspective, it wasn't. It was really cool.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right.
Thank you.
There you go. That is Brian Callahan's Monday press conference. We will step away and come back and react to that. You can react to that as well. 615-737-1025. Lots to react to. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.